So I'm going to be talking today a bit about the historical context of maternal mortality. And we'll talk a bit also about the progress that's been made recently in reducing maternal mortality across the world. And then speak briefly about the project that I'm working on in Rwanda. It's actually a project that's still ongoing, just starting to get some of the data collection now. So we'll conclude with some updates from the field. So in 1987, the World Health Organization, the World Bank, and the UNFPA launched the Safe Motherhood Initiative in Nairobi, Kenya, and began a global campaign to reduce maternal mortality. And this generated political will, identified potential interventions, and mobilized resources. Since that time, there have been additional conferences addressing this important issue, including the Millennium Summit in 2000, at which time 8 goals were set to address the world's main development challenges, including the Millennium Development Goal number 5, which is to decrease the maternal mortality ratio by 3/4 by the year 2015. Oops. So if we look at Rwanda as an example, we can see that only very small progress has been made. In 2000, the World Health Organization estimated that the maternal mortality ratio was 1,400 per 100,000 live births. And 5 years later, in 2005, it had only fallen about 9% to 1,300. So if this rate continues, the Millennium Development Goal number 5 of reducing maternal mortality is only going to be achieved in the year 2093. So the question that I'm grappling with every day is, why is this the case? Why is it going to take a country like Rwanda nearly a century to accomplish what other countries are on target to accomplish by the year 2015? So in trying to answer this question, as I first began my work in Rwanda, I reread a landmark article by Thaddeus in Maine in 1994 that was called Too Far to Walk. And in this article, they conceptualize the factors that contribute to maternal mortality as the three delays. In this model, which you can see up here on the slide, you can see that the three delays are directly related to the strength of the periphery of your health system. The first delay is the delay in deciding to seek care. And in many times, this has been coined the actual first real delay, the fear of the hospital or the costs that are going to be incurred there, or just the lack of an available decision maker for the woman. As you can see on the right, this requires strengthening in the most peripheral element of the health system, requiring education, knowledge of the women and the family members, as well as empowerment of women. The second delay occurs after the decision to seek care has been made, and this is a delay in actually reaching the healthcare facility. And usually it's caused by difficulty in transport. So strengthening this element is going to require an investment by the government, usually in communication, roads, and available, affordable modes of transportation are usually required. And then finally, the third delay, which is the delay in obtaining quality care once at a healthcare facility. While this is often the most obvious need, I think people, and definitely physicians like myself, often are targeting this while not realizing that just having trained nurses and physicians in a functioning healthcare facility is not going to be helpful, especially for situations where women aren't actually able to access the healthcare system. So if a woman doesn't know to come in, if she doesn't realize that there is a problem, or if she can't afford to pay for transportation, or there just is no form of transportation available in her village, she's not going to be able to access that care that might be available in the city. So we can't ignore these basic needs. And as I began to look at maternal mortality in this context of the three delays, it became a little bit more clear to me exactly why so many countries in Africa are failing to improve maternal health. Because without this strong foundation in the peripheral elements of the health system, you can't really build a strong, capable healthcare infrastructure. So with these facts in mind, I'm going to take you now to the country where we're working, which we already heard a little bit about, Rwanda. It's a sub-Saharan country that's comparative in land size to Massachusetts, and it's bordered by Uganda, Burundi, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and Tanzania. While comparative in land size to Massachusetts, it's a lot more densely populated, with Rwanda having approximately 1,029 people per square mile versus Massachusetts, where there's 809 people per square mile. The average fertility rate is 5.9, and the infant mortality rate is 109 per 1,000. And as we mentioned earlier, the maternal mortality ratio is 1,300 per 100,000 live births, which is 393 times that of Massachusetts. It's an incredibly poor country with 3/4 of the population living under the international poverty level of $1.25 a day, and a Human Development Index ranking of 167 out of 182 countries. Now, as far as the healthcare system is concerned, you can see in this image that Rwanda has a very well-developed pyramidal healthcare system. It's got 4 national referral hospitals and 36 district hospitals, where all of the obstetric emergencies are referred and all cesarean sections take place. In addition, there are 386 community healthcare centers, which are run by nurses alone, and where all normal vaginal deliveries take place. The Ministry of Health has recently introduced the Health Post, and this is a smaller facility that's run by a nurse that delivers ambulatory care only, and a formal system of community healthcare workers has also been recently developed. And these people are responsible for healthcare-related activities in each village. Each village typically consists of about 100 to 150 families, and the community health workers are men and women who are actually identified by people in their community to be community health workers for their village. They expand this base of the pyramid of systems quite a bit more, with about 2 to 4 community health workers per village. So it's here in the periphery of the healthcare system that we're actually working, both in the health post and with these community health workers. So within Nyamasheke District, our project involves the entire Kagano section, which you can see here. And this includes about 29,000 people who live in 50 villages. There's one health center, which is the headquarters for our project. And there are 3 health posts that function underneath the authority of this health center. And in addition, we're working with a total of 205 community health workers. So much of the foundation of our program was devised with the assistance of these community health workers. We held multiple informational meetings with them in conjunction with the local health leadership. Informal needs assessments were also conducted in June and October of last year, where group interviews were conducted with a total of 115 community health workers, including many pregnant women, of course, and new mothers. During this needs assessment, all 9 groups were asked one critical question. What did they feel was the single most important change in the current situation that would decrease the number of pregnant women who die in their villages? The 2 most common responses were improving transportation and providing maternity services closer to the villages. Both of these responses speak to the difficulty women have in accessing birthing services, given the difficult terrain that they live in, which you can see here in these pictures. So Rwanda isn't called the land of 1,000 hills for nothing. These pictures were actually taken on a walk that I did with some of the community health workers, as well as the man in this picture is here as the leader of the health center. I wanted to experience what a typical walk would be like for a pregnant woman, as she would come from her villages to the closest health post. And it was really quite something navigating these small little footpaths, as you can see in these pictures. Sometimes very muddy and slippery, and just obviously very difficult and dangerous for a pregnant woman. So with the information that I gathered from these group sessions and the meetings that I had with the local stakeholders in the community, we designed our interventions and laid out a study plan to evaluate its effectiveness. So our design is a prospective cohort study, and we're going to be collecting and analyzing demographic, reproductive health services utilization, and clinical outcomes data for mothers and children in the catchment areas of 3 health posts. And as you can see there at the bottom of the slide, Gaka, Shara, and Kanini. And just to remind you, these health posts are at the most peripheral element of the healthcare system in Rwanda. They're closest to the population. They're staffed by nurses only, providing ambulatory care at this time. So the first study intervention is creating a new birthing center, which is going to be at the village level and will be adjacent to and part of a current health post, and this is in Gako. It will be staffed by nurses and will only be performing uncomplicated vaginal deliveries. All emergencies are going to be transferred directly to the hospital. The second intervention is the mobile reproductive health care team, and this is the one in the Shara health post there in the middle. The nurse is going to be delivering antenatal care, family planning, and prevention of mother-to-child transmission of HIV in each village in the catchment area of Shara Health Post. The community health workers are going to be working alongside with the nurse, and their main goal is to be developing birth plans with each of the women to access care at a site with skilled birth attendants when the woman goes into labor. And a third service is a transportation association, which will be implemented at all 3 of these health posts, but it's not going to be evaluated in the study. So in Rwanda, there's over 100 of these registered associations. They're voluntary grassroots organizations, and they exist for almost everything. So in brainstorming with the community health workers about how to address the transportation problem, the idea of utilizing an existing mode of transportation and making it just more accessible to the population was deemed to be the most feasible and most practical solution. And I'll be describing this in a bit more detail in a minute. So hopefully this slide looks familiar from earlier in the talk. I've now added a few interventions on the far right side of the slide that correlate with each element of the healthcare system. So as you recall, these elements are at the periphery of the health system, and if we can strengthen them, hopefully we can eliminate some of the delays that result in the maternal morbidity and mortality. So you can see that we're taking some small steps in addressing the problem of poor maternal health outcomes at all three of the levels. So for the delay in recognizing a problem, which is the first delay, we're implementing the intervention of the mobile teams, with one of their responsibilities being education and creation of birth plans with every pregnant woman in the villages. Once the decision has been made to seek care, to help reduce the second delay of reaching a healthcare facility, we're not only going to be providing birthing service deeper within the community with the small maternity center, we're also facilitating the initiation of transportation associations to provide affordable and sustainable improvements to the transportation problem. And then finally, the third delay, which is a delay in obtaining quality care once you're at a healthcare facility. This is one of the most tragic issues, I think, in maternal mortality, and we're addressing this through our birthing center, as well as informally we're working to reduce this delay by doing trainings at both the health center as well as the district hospital. This is didactic education and hands-on training with the doctors and nurses. But again, that's not being studied as part of this program. So now for some updates on where we are with the project. Right now, we're sort of in step number two. We're implementing our interventions and just starting some of the data collection as well. These are just some photographs from the community health worker training that we did initially, where we've trained 115 of the community health workers. And these are photographs from the nurses training that we did at the health center. And this photograph there to the right is one of the residents from our department who came with to assist with the trainings. And then these are some photographs from actually in the district hospital where I do a lot of work with the doctors there for both didactic and hands-on training as well. And these are just some photographs from the operating room. And then this is our maternity center, the birthing center. That's the building there on the left, and that's our big water tank that we recently got installed and are very proud of. And this picture here on the left is a photograph of a pit, actually, that's 25 meters deep, just something I thought was interesting that I didn't know about before I started working there, but you need to dig two 25-meter deep pits to put your placentas in one and to put all your sharps in the other one. And then that's a picture of our birthing room on the other side there. Now, as far as the Transportation Association, this picture here on the left, those are the traditional ambulances. And what we did is went with the community health workers to each village to assess if they had a traditional ambulance or not and what kind of state of repair it was in, and actually only found three traditional ambulances that existed, period, in all of these villages. And again, this is 50 villages that we're working in. And we had to replace two of them because they were shredded. So we purchased these for about the equivalent of $4, and we've developed, you know, each one is $4, and delivered them to all of the villages. And the community health workers have worked within the village and signed up between 5 and 10 men per village to be on voluntary call, 24-hour calls on a rotating basis. And they then will bring the women into the either the maternity center or to the health center, depending on where they live, when they go into labor if they have an emergency. So they're on call, and we have the whole system of getting into contact with them through the community health workers. And that's it. Are there any questions? Exactly. So unfortunately, I don't have a picture of someone being carried on one, although I see it quite frequently. I just don't feel like I want to take a photograph of it. But essentially what they do is they'll cut down two small sapling trees and they make two poles from that. And there is a place on either side of those little, little, I guess it's kind of like a hammock. And the ladies just lay in that, and they have to have four people to carry them. That's one of the biggest problems, is even the places where they had the ambulance, the time it takes to find four people willing to carry the woman, you know, she's bleeding, that's just too much time.
Yeah, in the picture regarding the training, nursing training, are you training existing health workers, or are you training any new potential nurses coming into the field?
No, I'm sorry, I probably didn't make this clear. The community health workers are actually, they just, they're people who live in the village. They're not educated. Many of them are actually illiterate, but they have been identified by their community to be community health workers, and those are the people that we're working with. So they're existing community health workers.
But also she was asking about the nurses. The nurses.
So, yeah, the nurses as well. So we do the community health workers. These nurses work specifically, these photographs are from the health center. So they're current nurses that are already employed and working at the health center.
Existing staff.
Yes, yes. This is just for that third delay where I'm just trying to, one of the things that I noticed in when I first started working there, they asked me to come and volunteer at the hospital, and I didn't quite realize the level of education and skill there, so that it was sort of an added-on element that we're working on. Yes? What, I'm sorry, which one?
Do you think it's going to be
reduced? Yeah. Will you see a reduction in maternal mortality, and to what extent?
Well, I think that we definitely will see an improvement. Maternal mortality is a very difficult outcome to measure, and so many times we need surrogate markers to determine if it's improving, and one of the surrogate markers that we're going to be looking at is to see just the number of women who have an attended delivery, meaning having a skilled healthcare worker at their side when they're having the delivery. Because even though it seems like such a huge number, the maternal mortality, it's still somewhat of a rare event. It's just incredibly catastrophic when it happens. So we'll be looking at those numbers to determine if there is a reduction, and I'm quite certain there will be.
One more, maybe?
Sure. Sure. So the community health workers, actually many of them are traditional birth attendants. In Rwanda, I'm not exactly sure, a few years ago, before I started working there, they made a transition where traditional birth attendants are actually technically illegal. And so that's where the community health workers, this new initiative having community health workers came from, is many of those people were traditional birth attendants and now are community health workers. So they're the same people that who we're working with. So we, that's why I did that initial community health worker training, and we did a lot of birth planning, et cetera, with them initially so that they could help with that first delay.
Thank you. Sorry, we have to stop.